and sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Him we live, we move, we have our being, and we continue to look to Him, because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that leads and guides us into all truth. He's the one that guides us through this life and through this world and through our time on this earth. As we are walking with Him, as we're looking to Him, because He's the source, He's the direction, He's the one that gives us this day our daily bread, as we look to Him, He quickens us and says, okay, this is it. Here's what I have for you. This is what will nourish you. This is what will strengthen you. And for the journey and for the tasks at hand. Now, in the world, one thing that people focus on so often is what they're going to do and what they're going to do for God. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. We just flow with Him, and whatever it is an extension of Him flowing through you. So it's not about you doing for Him. It's about you and I getting on His page and what He wants flowing through us. So it's different. That's what, when Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, that's kind of what He means, is that we're flowing with God, doing what it is that He has for us to do. But it's not about us separate from Him, like, okay, I need to do something for God, God being over there and I'm over here. No, it's you unified with His Spirit, engrafted into the vine, and then that which you do is an extension of the instruction which comes from the head, but there is no separation between you and God. You, when people see you, just like in John 17, where Jesus was praying and He said, you know, I and the Father are one. And He talked about, you know, how His prayer was for, as He is in the Father and the Father is in Him, that we would be one in Him. In fact, let's just go to that one really quick. John 17, verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but also for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou hast given Me, which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Okay. So, for us, for the child of God, you know, let me read this next verse. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. You know, it's just incredible that this is what our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not separate from Him. We're not separate from the Father. We're not, that's the lie of the world. That's the curse of the law. That was the separation that was there under the curse of the law, was a veil between the Holy of Holies. And for the child of God that has stepped into Christ and received that gift of life that comes from Him, the way is made for us to walk with the Father and to not be separate. That's why when Jesus cried, it is finished, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, there was no more separation between the Holy of Holies and everyone there. Like, you're not separate anymore. You can boldly come before the throne of grace, not in your own accord and not in your own ability, but because of Christ Jesus, who is the gate, who is the door, who is the way to the Father. So that is how we now live. That is now how we now walk on our time on the earth. So what the world wants to do continually is it wants to separate us. It wants to separate you from the Father. It wants to separate you from God. It wants to take you in another direction. Now, it can't do that without your free will. It can't do that without you selling yourself over to that, selling yourself out and going that way. So that's why the world works so hard to get control of your mind. Now, one thing that we've seen in kind of modern current events is the world is being exposed. People are being exposed. The games are being exposed. The mind control is being exposed. The ways that they play these games are being exposed. And for the child of God that chooses to move with Christ, you're seeing that. And there's a boldness that's coming for the children of God because they recognize, wait a second, the world really is a trap and a trick. They really are just trying to get you to participate in their broken system, in their system that cannot run without your participation, mind you. The world can't function unless you play into it. The world can't exist unless it creates through you. Because you, brother and sister, you are the ones with the life of the living God in you. And they need to extract that out of you to build their system. They can't do it without you. So they've got to get you to believe them so that they can work through your consent to build their system. So now as people are continuing to withdraw their consent from the beast system, from the world, that's where the thing's starting to die. That's where the thing's starting to fall apart. Now, you know, it's been a little bit since we've done a talk like this, and I've kind of, you know, this last window of time, you know, there was a lot going on. And, you know, we've been engaged in a pretty heavy spiritual battle. And, you know, but hey, listen, that's just part of it. That's part of the assignment. That's par for the course. If you will believe God, believe His Word, trust in the way that He has spoken, take courage in that. Know that, listen, too, yeah, you're going to take some hits if you're going to step up to the plate. And if you're going to engage in this battle, but my gosh, this is where you want to be. You want to be engaged in the things of God because you want to be about your Father's business. You want to be in step with Him because the world has nothing for you. And what God seeks to do right now is to transition this life and this world from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. We're seeing that. Now, how that manifests could be all kinds of different ways, but we're definitely seeing that transition, and we're seeing God, if nothing else, we're seeing Him shake everything that can be shaken, which is part of the promise. We're seeing that knowledge is definitely increasing. We're seeing people going to and fro on the earth. We're seeing all kinds of things that have been spoken in the scriptures being manifest in the natural. Plus, we're also seeing people moving forward in the words that God is giving them that resonates with the body of Christ. Now, there is, on a larger scale, in the larger macro environment that we're in, you are also seeing the bankruptcy of the spiritual bankruptcy, I should say, of a lot of the established religious systems. They've lost their way, they've gone the wrong way, and they have been seen and revealed to basically be wrong. And the consequence of putting yourself in those situations and not maintaining good stewardship of your own soul, it's dangerous. Because you start to believe and adhere to a lie, and people want that groupthink because they think there's safety in numbers, but there's not. The only safe place, he that dwells, you know, it's, you got to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. You've got, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You want to be with Him. Not anywhere else, because he, and so if that means that you got to be by yourself, then hey, you got to be by yourself. If that means that there's just a small group of people, then hey, that's all it is. If that means there's a great big group of people, fantastic, really fun. But you know, you go with Him, you go with the Father, and whatever it is that He says, that's what goes. You know, there's a lot of times where sure, I would love to have, you know, a large fellowship of people that are just all on the same page. But that hasn't been a lot of my experience. A lot of my experience has been where when it comes to traditional religious circles and quote-unquote churches, people don't want Jesus. I mean, they want a form of godliness, but but they deny the power thereof. They don't. They want him to a certain point, but to the point of basically getting what it is that they want in this life and in this world. And God is kind of they want to treat him like their genie in a bottle to make their three wishes and then get on with their life in the world. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. He is the one above it all. And if you're going to truly walk with him, then you're going to have to leave everything in the realm of your own heart, sometimes in the natural, you know, because God will do that. He will call you out. He's done that with me, you know, where he will separate you from everything if you're going to follow him, because he wants to see, all right, is he all? Is he everything? Or do you need something in this, or is there something in this world that you refuse to let go of? You know, there's a teaching on Terah, you know, who was Abraham's dad. And, you know, Terah set out originally and then stopped. And then Abraham, later on, God called him out. And there's some thought on the fact that because Terah set out on a journey, that perhaps God spoke to him first. And then it got a little bit difficult, and then he got off God's train. And then Abraham was then given the vision, given the instruction. And Abraham became the father of all nations. You know, and he became the father of the faith. So, you know, there is an element of God will, many times, he will continue to carry on with his purpose. And you can either flow with God, and you can flow with what he's doing, or, you know, he will just continue to carry on. So, I mean, sometimes you're it. In some situations, hey, that's it. You were God's person. You were God's man. You were God's woman to do that thing that needed to be done. That being the case, it's like, you know, on the larger scale, hey, God is going to accomplish his purposes. I see, for me personally, just looking at this now as a person, observing what's going on in this life and in this world, I see that there's many times a lot of different ways. It's malleable how God will accomplish certain things. And we are allowed to participate with him. We're allowed to co-create with him, because he's put that in us. And it's incredible. You know, if you will flow with him and pray, he's also going to work through you. And he's also going to work through that which you do, that which you say, that which you speak, that which you commit yourself to. The best thing to do is just give yourself completely over to him. Give yourself completely over to the Spirit of the living God. You know, whatever it is that you struggle with, or whatever it is that are your, you know, issues or limitations or whatever, it just doesn't matter. Give it over to him. He knows. And let him work with you. Let him flow through you. Let him begin to accomplish his purposes in and through you. It's not going to be you doing it. It's going to be him doing it through you. There's a place of peace. There's a place of rest. There's a place of just like, you just can breathe easy. I know the world right now is, people are starting to freak out for all kinds of different reasons. Hey, that we already told you guys, that's going to be happening. So this is not surprises. These are not things that we are taken aback by. You know, you need to keep your eyes on Christ, be aware but not distracted. We're riding the wave, so keep your eyes on Christ. And when you ride the wave, you're going to be very fluid, very flexible. You know, you need to be in that moment. You can't be projecting out ahead, nor can you be stuck on the past and realize that people are where they are when that wave breaks. So, for those that have heeded the word, for those that have trusted, for those that have realized and gotten on God's page, hey, they're riding right there with you. For those that have refused, then leave them. Let the dead bury the dead. You know, there's a lot of people that at this point, at this stage, you just got to let them go. Because God can do what he wants to with them, but that's not your role and responsibility right now. Your role and responsibility is to flow with what God's put in front of you right now. Because you have a call. You have a role. You have a ministry. You have a purpose. You have a reason for being. And you don't want to waste that that effort, that energy, that focus, that attention on the things that are not worthy, not worthwhile, not worth your attention and focus. The devil's going to try to pull you into those places. Why? Because there's the parable of the sower and the seeds that were sown among the weeds. The worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life choked it out and made it unfruitful. And that's what the devil wants to do with you. He wants to choke out that life and that fruitfulness of God in you with the worries, with the riches, and the pleasures of this life. So he's going to try to bring those all to you. He's going to try to get you worried. Because if he can get you worried, then you're going to be freaking out. And you're going to be thinking like the world. And we don't think like the world. And he's going to offer you things in the world. And, you know, other things just as distractions. No, keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your focus there. That is the place of your victory. That is the place of your understanding, your direction. So with everything else going on too, I think, you know, I don't have to establish it as strongly as that we had to before. Pray. As we pray, things are changing. As we continue to pray, we're seeing the hand of God moving. As we continue to pray, as we continue to come together in prayer and move in the power that God's put in us, we're seeing how that's having tremendous impacts and tremendous effects. And, you know, whether it is correlation or causation, that's secondary. It's just pray. Because that's what God told us to do. Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. So pray. You know, and, you know, it may be that God is going to do certain things and he just wants us to speak and to pray things into the natural and bridge them into, from the realm of the Spirit, into this one, in step with him. So there's that marker in the natural realm. Or it may be that God is doing it through us. And he's quickening us, and then we pray, and then it happens because God is doing it through us. It doesn't matter either way. It still just matters that he's telling us to pray, and however he flows, that's what he's doing, and that's what we're flowing with him to do. And I think so often we, as human beings, want to try to pick the mind of God, and that's not necessary. It's not called for. Just be grateful that he's allowing you to be part of it. You know, I think so often people want to break things down because they're looking for a technique. They're looking for for something that they can then replicate and put into a 12-step book and sell. You know, and it's like, no. It's like, instead, here, there's a principle. And the principle is keep your eyes on Christ and flow with him and let the rest be what it is. And in that process, God can unlock tremendous powers in you. He can speak through you. It can be beyond your wildest dreams and wildest expectations. All kinds of things can happen. All kinds of things can take place. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're in an amazing time. And I'm just grateful for each and every one of you guys that are out there. For those of you that listen, for those of you that pray and listen, that's really the only thing that we ask for here is we ask that you pray for us. We ask that you pray for those that are linked with us, that you know of, that we've brought up. Pray for protection, pray for direction, pray for just good health and strength, the leader leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Pray that everything that the enemy tries to send against us would be sent back completely. Sevenfold to the enemy, to the source, to stay on them unless they either repent or die in that. You know, we don't play. You know, if the enemy wants to try to come over this way and God exposes them, we send it back. And they have one of two choices at that point. Either they repent and get right with God and they get on his page, or they're completely cut off and they die in that. So, yeah, because why? Because, you know, there is no quarter for the enemy. So this is not a place to play. This is a place to move with what God is doing. There is a seriousness for the children of God in the time we're in. There's a seriousness and a soberness because God has an assignment for each and every one of us. He's got an assignment for you. He's got an assignment for me. And if we don't flow with Him, then we miss it. Allow things to be what they also are. Let things be a full manifestation of what they are. You want to flow with God. You want to flow with what He's doing. And so part of that is when you pray, is giving it up to Him. You know, there's times where God will stir you in a particular direction, and sometimes it may get a little bit, you may wonder, is this me, or is this something that God is putting in me? But that's why you cover that also with, but Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So when you pray, and He's stirring you and encouraging you in a particular way, but then you also, in case, for whatever reason, because we know that we can be swayed sometimes because of our human side, so we still bring it all back before the Father and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what you want. You want His will to be done and not your own, because in His will there's purpose and safety and provision and understanding and wisdom and knowledge and amazing friendships and relationships, and just, it's a beautiful thing. So we have to give up who it is that we thought we were in this life and in this world in order to be who God made us to be. And, you know, let it be what it is from there. If God takes you up, He takes you up. If He takes you down for whatever reason, then, you know, that may be necessary for a window, for a season. You know, whatever is necessary. I mean, listen, Joseph, you know, he went from, so God spoke to Joseph, gave him a word at 17, and shortly after that, of what he was going to do in his own life. And then shortly after that, he gets sold into slavery by his brothers, goes to Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house, does a good job working for him. Potiphar puts him in charge of everything in the house. And then Potiphar's wife tries to make a move on him. And Joseph, seeking to do the right thing, he doesn't fool around with her. And then she sets him up, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, she you know, starts screaming and pretending like, and grabs his cloak, and then he runs away, and then she sets him up and gets him thrown in jail because she tells the husband that he tried to rape her. And then the husband loses it. Now Joseph's trying to do the right thing, but because he won't go their way, then what happens? He goes then to another, in the natural, a worse level. How often has that happened? How often have you've tried to do things God's way, and it's just gone from, in the natural, bad to worse? Well, you know, you're not the only one that's happened to. So Joseph goes on from quote-unquote bad to worse, but here's the silver lining in that whole situation. Listen, if it was not for those sequences of events, he would have never met the baker and the cupbearer. He would have never met those guys. He would have never interpreted their dreams. He would have never had that link that would have happened to Pharaoh. That link that would have happened to Pharaoh would have not then allowed for the interpretation of the dream, which then allowed for Joseph to become that person in that court, which would, and the second highest ruler in the land, which ended up sparing and saving his entire family and saving the entire known world at the time from famine, because that famine that would come would go on for 7 years, and they all ran out of food within two, and they needed to survive. So Joseph, you don't see, here's the thing. Okay, you know, there's a pastor friend of mine that told me this one time. He said, look, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. It's very true. You know, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. That's why we choose life. That's why we choose Christ. Because when you choose life, the consequences are good. When you choose life, you're allowing for an unfolding of positive things, of blessings, because you're choosing that which is good. So when Joseph was choosing life and choosing to do the right thing, even though it may have taken him down a bit, God in his own way was just using that entire situation to establish a way for all these guys to be kept from their own destruction in time to come. See, we don't sometimes know what the carry-on effect will be. And so that's why sometimes when you're in a difficult situation and you've tried to do things God's way, just hold on a little bit longer. Hold on a little bit longer. Keep the faith. Don't give up. Just pray. Just bring it before God. Let him encourage you in the spirit, because sometimes you just got to wait a little bit. Because we don't necessarily, in our finite ability, see and know and understand all the pieces that are at work. But God knows. And God is going to fulfill that vision that he put in you. Now, if Joseph would have gone off with Potiphar's wife, that's where he would have ended up. That would have been him going and just basically going the way of the world. And what would that have been? What would that have looked like? Well, basically, here it is. God spoke to him at a young age, put a dream and a vision in his heart, and then he found himself in prison, and then he found himself in Potiphar's house. And if he would have done that, it would have basically been, you know what, well, God spoke to me, but everything didn't quite work out. So here, this is what I've got to do. Just to sort of make things work, because hey, I'm in a slave situation. I don't really have much recourse, so I'm just gonna play ball and go to bed with the master's wife. And that's where he would have stopped. That's where he would have stayed. And when the famine did come through the land, he and Potiphar's house and everybody else would have died. And his family in Egypt, everybody would have died. Or his family in Canaan, they would have all died. Because the sequence was happening. It was going to happen. Events were in motion that were going to happen. See, when people go the way of the world, things die. Things that you could have been a part of what God was doing, those are no longer there for you. See, what the world offers is trinkets and little moments and little pieces of what you would think is happiness or fulfillment or security. But there's nothing there. Whereas when you go the way of the Lord, it may be tough, it may be difficult at times. But he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. And in that process, you will go on to fulfilling the reason and the purpose for which God brought you and put you on the earth. And God has a reason that he has you here. You need to know that. You need to understand that. You need to move in that. You don't want that. Listen, the world has nothing for you. We're already seeing things cracking up in the world. So this is less difficult to speak about today than it might have been a couple of years ago. Because now you're starting to see that those that have gone the way of the world are falling apart. They're already losing their mind. Why? Because when the storm comes, it tests the quality of... When the fire comes, it tests the quality of every man's work. When the storm comes, it tests the foundation, whether you built it on rock or on sand. You know, it's going to test. So here we are. We're coming into times of trials and tribulations and testing and all of that. And people are being seen and revealed and known for what they are. The children of God are standing strong. The children of God know the voice of the Spirit of the living God. They won't follow another. The worlders are falling apart. And like we've said, it's just beginning. So you, brother and sister, you keep on that track. And when the enemy tries to come up like Potiphar's wife and tries to offer you something for some security or some safety or some continuity in this life and in this world, no. You want what God has for you. No, you want to fulfill the dream and the vision that God put in your heart. And you know that's not it. So you need to persist in that which is real and that which is true. And as much as possible, we try to live at peace with others. But, you know, we will not turn our back on that which is real in order to be accommodating. There is a line that we will not cross, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were being pulled up before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said, look, you better bow or we're going to toss you into this fiery furnace. And they said, look, king, and they were doing a good job for the king in the affairs of the kingdom, because in the roles that they were playing, but they said, look, when it comes to this matter, you know, when it comes to this thing, we're not going to be careful in how we answer you. We're not going to choose our words carefully. In no uncertain terms, we will never bow before the idol that you've set up. We will never serve your gods. We belong to the living God. We serve him and him alone. Thou shalt love the Lord your God alone, and him only shall you serve. That's what we do. The world hates that, but that's their problem. It's not yours. Yours is to follow Jesus Christ, to be led and guided by his Spirit, and to trust him. Know that he that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. And know that that journey, even though it may be rough at times, that it's going to be an amazing, amazing finish. All right, you guys, we love you. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.